This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelvin, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, whom before Pontius Pilate witnessed a great confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, under the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we praise thy name for thy eternal purpose, that thou hast purposed to work in the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord of all. Lord of all, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We praise thy name for thy sovereignty, the sovereignty of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and that we come to know him as Lord and as Savior. Bless thy word as it goes forth today. May hearts be broken, may eyes be opened, may sinners be drawn by the power of thy Spirit, everlasting life and salvation in Christ, for it is in Christ's precious name that we pray. Amen.
Lord, take my life and give it for thy glory. May others see what thou hast done for me. Lord, take my thought. Take my life and give it.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Dear friend, we're happy to be able to come into your home week after week with these messages from the Word of God. And our prayer is that God will use them for His glory and the salvation of your souls and the edifying of your souls day by day. It is our prayer. Would you like to receive these messages in print, these messages we preach on the Word of Truth broadcast? You can have them if you will write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. If you'd like to get on our mailing list to receive all the messages that we send out, we'd be happy to put you on our permanent mailing list if you will write us and tell us so. If you'd like to inquire about our revolving cassette ministry, how you may receive these radio messages and other messages on cassette tape to use there in your home, you write us and we'll be happy to give you information. Now, did you write for your free book that we're giving away this month entitled Comfort for Christians? A book of 17 chapters, all to show forth God's Word concerning comfort for His people. A little book I'd like to put into your hands, and you'll be glad that you got it, to read it. It'll bless your heart and encourage your hearts and comfort your hearts. So write and ask for the book by name, Comfort for Christians. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. It is with joy that we come before you again today to deliver this second message on the subject, Christ is Lord of all. I want you to listen very attentively today, for I want you to get everything that I have to say upon this most important subject of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, a neglected truth and a neglected doctrine in this day in which we're living. Dear friend, did you know that God's true way of salvation is little known today? That statement is true. For the gospel which is being preached today, even in Orthodox circles, is often an erroneous gospel. Listen while I explain this statement. For many years it has been taught that nothing more is required for a sinner's salvation than to accept Christ as his personal Savior. Later he ought to bow to him as Lord, consecrate his life to him, and serve him fully. But even if he fails to do so, heaven is surely his. He will probably lack peace and joy now, and probably he will miss some called millennium crown, but having received Christ as his personal Savior, he has been delivered from the wrath to come, and once saved, always saved. But my dear friend, this is a reversal of God's order. It is the devil's lie, and only that day, which is to come, the judgment day, will show how many have been fatally deceived by this, that all a man has to do is believe and he's saved without any work of grace in his heart. Just let him exercise his free will and all is well. Don't need the work of the Spirit. You don't have to bow to the Lordship of Christ. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. And this is promulgated today and has produced a nation full and a world full of so-called carnal Christians, and Christ does not rule and reign in the heart because he's never been crowned as king. You might say, Pastor, that's very strong language, isn't it? Yes, I know it is, but let us test it by the eternal Word of God, not by what I say or what some church says or what some evangelist or personal worker says, but what does God's Word say? To the law and to the testimony. Listen now. Everywhere in the New Testament where you see the two titles of our Lord together, wherever they occur together, That is, Lord and Savior, they're always in this order, which shows us that the Scripture gives our Lord Jesus Christ His rightful place in the salvation of sinners as Lord of that individual's life and the Savior of that individual's never-dying soul. You see, when God saves a sinner, that sinner receives the eternal Son of God in all of His offices of prophet, priest, and king. In His office as prophet, He receives Him to teach him, because He is the Christ, He is Christ, the anointed of God, the one sent to teach the sinner by Spirit. In His office as priest, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to die for us and to mediate for us. And therefore He is Jesus, the Son of Man. In His office as king, He rules over us, for He is the Lord, to whom has been given the power to give eternal life to as many as believe on His name. Yes, in salvation, we receive the eternal Son of God in all three of His offices as prophet, priest, and king. Let us see how the Scriptures bear this out and show that He is received both as Lord and Savior. Go with us to the first chapter of Luke, verses 46 and 47, and you'll find the Virgin Mary there speaking of her Lord and her Savior in these words. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Here we find her recognizing Him as both Lord and Savior. Lord as King to rule over her, and Savior to forgive and take away her sins by the sacrifice of Himself. Again, watch how 2 Peter 1:11 puts it. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Here His Lordship and His Saviorship are combined together, showing that He becomes the Savior of none, and there is no entrance into His everlasting kingdom until the heart and the will unreservedly receives Him as Lord. I want you to get that. So much teaching today abroad in the land about the kingdom. Brother, the kingdom is the reign of Christ in the heart. There's not going to be any material kingdom of Christ. Christ's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom in which the Lord Jesus Christ is crowned Lord. And Peter says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." All right? The same truth of His being Lord and Savior, and that we receive Him in all of His offices when God saves us, is brought out in Acts 5:31 in these words: "Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince," that is, a ruler, "the Lord, and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Dear friend, there are many, many scriptures like this in the Bible which show this, but let us confine ourselves to the book of Acts and see how the apostles preached the gospel, and we will quickly discover that the message of the apostles were altogether different, not only in emphasis, but also in substance from the preaching that we hear today. If you go to the second chapter of Acts, you will find in Brother Peter's first sermon that it is upon this great theme of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He shows that the reason for the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was due to the blessed fact that Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God, now sat upon David's throne in heaven, and therefore as Lord, He sent the Holy Spirit as His and the Father's love gift to His believing people. Verse 33 tells us that the Lord Jesus was exalted to God's right hand, and as Lord He was ruling and reigning over His people and over His enemies here upon earth. Then comes the great climax of this sermon in verse 36, which brought conviction and salvation to the hearts of thousands that day. Listen to the heart of it. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Brother Peter says he is Lord, and you must receive him as Lord of your life to be saved. This verse, Acts 2:36, corresponds to our Lord's claim after his resurrection in Matthew 28:18, that all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And bears out Brother Peter's word in Cornelius' home in Acts 10:36, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Yes, he is Lord, Lord of all. Oh, how these words have been ringing in my soul this past week. He is Lord of all. Christ is Lord of all. Christ is Lord of my life. Lord of my will. And beloved, it is the deep desire of my soul to follow him daily, recognizing his lordship, because I belong to him by creation. I belong to him by regeneration. And I belong to him by redemption. And he is the Savior of my soul. So we see then that not only did Brother Peter preach Christ as Lord on the day of Pentecost to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles in Cornelius' home. He is Lord. He is Lord, declared Brother Peter, both over the Jew and Gentile alike. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So you see, dear friend, the gospel of the grace of God in Christ Jesus frees us from the slavery and bondage and reign of sin and makes us free from the law of sin and death, according to Romans 8:2. Why? Because he's Lord, he's King. He has done it. It takes us from the kingdom of darkness and puts us into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1:13, and makes us willing bondslaves of Jesus Christ, who is our new Lord and our King. Oh, how precious this is to my heart. If you go to the 9th chapter of Acts, you'll find that when Saul of Tarsus was smitten down under conviction on the road to Damascus, our Lord from glory said, "Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me?" And he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And then came those words, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He recognized he was Lord. He was willing for him to be Lord. And my friend, there is no remission without submission to the lordship of Christ. There is no remission of sins without the submission of your will to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no thing, there's no salvation apart from Christ reigning as Lord. There's no such doctrine taught in God's Word that you can receive him as Savior, then later on, if you want to, you can receive him as Lord. No, 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 let me cry it across the ether waves. The salvation that God gives is a salvation that requires you to bend your authority, your will, to the Lord Jesus Christ and crown him Lord. And up jumped somebody and said, "Well, that's legalism, that's works." But brother, let me tell you something. He who gives salvation also gives the terms of salvation, and that is bound to the lordship of Christ. And it's all of grace, because God must break our wills. Let us build a little further on this foundation which we've laid. There are a few today who have a right conception of what a spiritual and saving conversion is, as given to us in the gospel. I believe the call to salvation, biblical salvation, is set forth in these two scriptures. The first is found in Isaiah 55:7, where we read, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We're coming back to the Lord. It's a turn to the Lord in conversion. The second scripture is found in 1 Thessalonians 1:9. How ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. You see, in both of these verses, we see that conversion is a turning to God, a returning unto the Lord. It is a bowing to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in voluntary surrender of all that we are and all that we have, with no holds barred. I'm coming to Him as I am, to lay everything at His feet. I want Him. I desire Him to be Lord of my life. I would say that conversion is a turning from sin unto holiness. This is Scripture. From self unto God. From Satan unto Christ. And this worked in us by the Holy Spirit. Listen to me now. It is the voluntary surrender of myself to the Lord Jesus. Not only by a consent of dependence upon His merits to save me, but also by a willing readiness to obey Him, giving up all the keys to all the rooms of my heart and laying them down at His feet and saying, You're Lord. Yes, it is the soul declaring, O Lord my God, other lords beside Thee have had dominion over me, namely the world, the flesh, and the devil, but by Thee only will I make mention of Thy name, according to Isaiah 26:13. Why does God demand repentance and submission of our wills to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? The question is asked. And I'll answer. It is because of our stubborn, rebellious natures. We have cried like Pharaoh in Exodus 5:2, words, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? Or like those, as recorded in Job 21, who say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of Thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? Or again, like those in Luke 19:14, who sent a message to the king saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. So you see, men do not want to bow to the Lordship of Christ. And therefore, God puts it in His salvation. He gives it to us freely by His grace. But we bow to Him to receive it. Yes, this is the heart of every soul outside of Christ. It is enmity against God. It is rebellious. It refuses to fall at His feet in repentance and refuses to have Christ to rule over him. But oh, when the Holy Spirit works, and when He convicts us of sin, He causes us to see what sin really is. And sin is the right to do with my life as I please, and God, You stay out of it. The Holy Spirit shows us that this sin is rebellion against God, a refusal to submit to the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit causes us to realize that we have been an insurrectionist against Him who is exalted above all. And my friend, a man's not going to do this apart from the grace of God. I'm going to give glory to God in salvation. There's no such thing as a free will, a will that can turn to God when it pleases and how it pleases. The Holy Spirit must come in and break your heart by His almighty power. And then what does the sinner do? He finds himself guilty before God. He finds he is helpless and hopeless. And then what does he do? Why, he comes by the grace of God laying down his arms of rebellion. He hoists the white flag of surrender. For he cannot win fighting against God, so he bows to the Lordship of Christ. He acknowledges his true condition before God. Therefore, he comes and bows to the Lordship of Christ. I want you. I need you. I desire you. I must have you. Lord, here is my life. Take it and do with it as you please. Well, I ask a question right here, my friend. When a soul comes there, does God leave him there? Oh, no. No, no. This is where the Holy Spirit's been bringing him all the time. The Holy Spirit shows him that if he will bow to Christ as Lord and Savior, then God can and will have save him and make him a new creature in Christ. He finds out that the Holy Spirit will take away his stony, rebellious heart and give him a heart of purity and love. He will take away his bent to sin and give him a hatred for sin. He will give him a deep desire to leave sin and a longing to be holy and to be righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. All of this is worked in us by the indwelling Holy Spirit, and I praise God for it. The Holy Spirit shows this repenting, believing sinner from the Word of God that there is a beauty and there is a glory in Christ and that He is a sufficient Savior for his soul. You see, the Holy Spirit shows the sinner from the Word of God that he died in Christ and that all the benefits of Christ's death has been given freely to him and that he has now become a servant of righteousness, a servant of God, a willing bond slave of Jesus Christ, and now will bring forth fruit unto holiness. The whole sixth chapter of Romans declares this. What a salvation God gives. Yes, the fully convinced sinner who has been taught by the Holy Spirit will bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus and will proclaim, like Thomas in John 20, that Christ is my Lord and my God. Yes, Lord. Lord of my life. Lord of all I am. Lord of all I possess. Lord of all, because I have become His willing bond slave and desire His rule only in my life. I don't want it no more. I want Him to be Lord. Oh, dear friend, let me tell it to you in love and tell it to you in kindness. Will you pick up your ears and listen? God saves no sinner in Christ on that sinner's terms. He saves him only on his terms, which if any man come to Christ and hate not father and mother and wife and children and brethren, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple, Luke 14:26. And that 27th verse reads, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The 33rd verse says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be Christ's disciples. These are his terms. Bow into his lordship, his authority, to become his willing bond slave so that Christ will be all in all. And now in closing, let me ask you a pointed question. Is Christ your Lord? Does he in fact occupy the throne of your heart? Does he actually rule over your life? If not, then you most certainly cannot say that he's your Savior unless your heart has been renewed, unless grace has changed you from a lawless rebel to a loving subject, then you are yet in your sins and on the broad way to destruction. And my friend, this is God's Word, not mine. I didn't write it, but I bring it to you today in love, crying that God, by His Spirit, may work effectually in your heart. You want a copy of this message, write for it. Be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye. And may God bless you.